Now, if you haven't yet, turn in your pew Bibles. We're going to be looking at a couple of chapters this morning. I promise not to keep us too long, but there's a lot to this story. John 11 begins telling the story of Lazarus, and then we move on and we hear about Jesus and his resurrection. And then John says, okay, now here's why I wrote all about this. And we will be and begin considering them together. So you can begin with John chapter 11. But let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that you are here with us today in the person of your Spirit. And you're here because of what happened on Easter Sunday. Lord, we come from a variety of circumstances this morning. Some really good, some really bad, and an awful lot probably in between. But Lord, we're grateful that you walked on this planet where we walk. You came to an everyday area, probably a lot like ours. And so you understand what we're going through. But Lord, you rose. You overcame it. And conquered the grave so that we could know you forever. May we know your presence as we consider your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week we had a funeral a few days ago for Lee Gromling, longtime York County resident, one of the family that goes way back. And some of you way back families, you were related in all, you know, different places. They tell me that's just the way it is. If you live in York County, you're related somewhere. Appreciate all that everybody did, you know, to care for the family, to care for the day, things out front, things behind the scenes, and really the Lord really blessed our time together. But I caught myself thinking, just referring to it as a funeral, and I thought, you know, we don't often use the word funeral anymore. We talk about it. We say, well, we had a funeral. Yeah, we had a funeral, but, you know, we say, well, I'll say maybe we had a memorial service, or we say, these days, we say we had a celebration of life. We don't use the word funeral very much anymore, and we certainly don't use the word death very much. Some of you know I did some continuing ed at the hospital this year, learning some chaplaincy things and pastoral care skills, and one of the things that they taught us is that you need to say that someone, when someone dies, you need to really say, yes, they died. You need to say what it, or sometimes we say end of life. Okay, we didn't even, you know, as we talked about it. But death is something that a medical friend of mine said you never get used to. It's something that that we all face. This brother who was a doctor but also a person that loved the Lord, he said, you know, Paul said death is an enemy, and it is an enemy. The Bible says, Paul says the planet groans about death and its consequences. And so every time we put someone 6 feet under, as we used to say anyway, the planet groans. It says, oh, another one. Oh, another one. You know, and there's other complications of the curse of death on our planet. No matter how you feel about climate change, yeah, it happened or it's not happening, I think we would all agree that the way that we have treated the planet has not been good. We lived in Maine for 12 years, and one of the men in our church, worked for the state, and his job was to count the fish in the river, in the Penobscot, I think it was. And he went fishing all day long. That was his job. Some of you guys would like that, and gals. But that was his job, to count the fish, because they were doing all kinds of things to get rid of the pollution so that the fish would return. I hear there's some problems in the Susquehanna. You know what I mean? But it's because of the kind of stuff that we've done to the planet. Never mind what's happening in a place like Ukraine and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's gone on for centuries. And the planet is just, it's groaning. We were called at the beginning of time to manage the planet. That was before human sin. We're called to manage the place. And you know what? We have not done very well because of sin and its effects. The world is a dark place. But Jesus shot a flame into the night when he rose from the dead, when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He shot a flame into the darkness that surrounds us, and that's why we celebrate today. Today I'd like us to look at three stories. Three stories that point to Jesus as the resurrection and the life. The first one is the story of Mary and Martha, which is a story where the crucifixion accelerates Jesus' move toward the resurrection. Lazarus had died, a friend of Jesus. He died 4 days earlier, and Jesus had resisted coming. Lazarus, now in those days, there was no embalming in that area of the world, like we would do today. There was certainly no refrigeration. And so they would, you know, within 24 hours or so, the family would get together and they would do the burial. And Jesus delayed coming. And they had mourners, professional mourners that would come in and they would sing and they would mourn with the family. And here's two sisters, Mary and Martha, Listeners Club kids that are listening, Eminem we might call them, Mary and Martha, and they were, good night, they lost a brother. They were in tears. Not long before this, they had enjoyed a meal with Jesus and with their brother, and they were mourning. And Jesus gets there, and Martha, the organized one of the family, the hard worker of the family, you know, she says, "Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. You know, you've been healing people all over town. If you had just been here, then he would not have died." And Jesus says to her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha says, "Yes, yes, Lord. I know my theology. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world." She had it all in her head. She believed the idea, but it hadn't moved to her heart. And Jesus, of course, was saying far more than she could ever have understood. That Jesus, who lived for 33 years on this planet, is deeply moved. It's at this point, in that famous shortest verse of the Bible, it says that Jesus wept. And then as he moved toward the tomb, he wept again. But then he got to the tomb and he said, "Take away the stone." And Martha said, no, you can't do that. He's been in there 4 days. It's really bad now. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And they took away the stone and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus walked out. He walked out and he had his grave clothes on. He was all wrapped up and Jesus said, "Take off his clothes. Let him go." And Lazarus went free of that grave. And what Jesus is showing here, so that all could see, this is quite the show and tell lesson. Jesus is showing that he is more than a prophet. Because Elijah had raised a young boy to life. And then Elisha, to show that he had the power of God like Elijah did, he raised a young boy, a widow's son, another boy to life. But Jesus was doing more than Elijah and Elisha did. Jesus was doing then more than some miracle worker might do. Jesus is saying that he is the resurrection and the life. The religious experts that were there, they were just kind of monitoring the situation. They saw blasphemy when they saw it. Jesus was claiming that he was the creator, that he was God. And it was at this point that they initiated a death plot. They said, this guy's got to be taken out. This is where the death plot against Jesus began, with the resurrection of Jesus and his claims to be the resurrection and the life. And this was completely in the timing of God and of Jesus and of the Trinity, who had planned all of this out. Earlier on, Jesus had chosen not to reveal himself. But at this point, he has chosen in his sovereign plan to reveal. It is God's timing. It is God's plan. It is Jesus planning, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In him, everything was made. Without him, there was nothing made that has been made. Jesus made everything. Jesus gave life to the planet. It's kind of like the difference between the sun and something that's a solar light. So, you know, you got some of them, you might have a solar flashlight that you might carry around with you. But if you keep that solar flashlight in your pocket for too long, or if you leave it in your closet, it's not going to work, is it? If you might have a solar panel. And it's a pretty big deal. And I don't know a whole lot about solar panels, but I do know if you cover them up, they're not going to work. They got to be connected to the sun. But the sun is its own source. The sun keeps shining and shining and shining, and the world turns, and we don't see the sun, but we see the effect of the sun on the moon. And the sun, you know, sometimes the clouds come over the sun, but the sun keeps going. It doesn't need another source other than the Lord himself to keep it going. And that's the way that Jesus is. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the one who raises the dead, because he is the one who gave life in the beginning. Jesus gave us life when we were born. Jesus gives us life now, and Jesus is the one for those who love him and follow him that will give us love forever. Jesus says that in him that we live, even though we die. You see, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But the next story, which is about Mary Magdalene, and Peter and John, it's here that the resurrection itself occurs, the resurrection of Jesus himself. So Mary Magdalene, a woman who had been delivered from a terrible lifestyle, experienced a lot of pain because of it, finds an empty tomb. It's early Sunday morning. It's dangerous. She's alone in the dark. She's on the outskirts of town. She comes to the tomb and she looks, and the door is open, and it's dark in there. She doesn't know who's around. She expects that something fishy is going on, but she has no idea what it is. But as a woman, and women are in this story, in the plan of God, in a day when women were neglected and set aside, as a woman, she stares death in the face. And she does that for all of us. Well, she runs for help. She says, I don't know what's going on, but I got to get out of here. And she runs and she gets a couple of the men. She gets Simon Peter and she gets the other disciple. Now, John, the one who wrote this gospel, is kind of self-effacing. He's kind of modest. He says, yeah, she went to get Peter and she went to get this other guy. And she was talking about the one who was writing the account. And they race to the tomb. And John, the other guy who's writing, he says, you know, I looked in there and I was the first one. I saw the linen cloth. I saw the head wrap lying there. And then he said, by golly, he said, Peter rushed by me and he got in there first. But he says, I was the one who first of all said, I see what's going on. And I see and I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Don Carson said that Lazarus had come out wearing his grave clothes, but Jesus left him behind. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus, yeah, he had raised Lazarus, but then Jesus, because he is the source of life, Jesus raised himself from the grave because he is the author of life. You see, Mary Magdalene and Peter and John, they believed now with what they knew. The details of what they were seeing would be recorded throughout the scriptures. John himself would write in a letter, not this gospel, but elsewhere, he said, I have recorded what I've seen, what we saw, what we heard, we touched him. And this became the foundation of what we believe today and what the church has believed for 2,000 years. In the gospel, in this gospel of John, he would say that the light has shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that was the basis of believing in Jesus. We have all that we need to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The evidence is there. The eyewitnesses have given their account. But there's more than that now. Because people we know say that they know Jesus, that Jesus is alive. We heard from Wendy this morning what the living Christ had done for her. And there are other people that you know and that I know that talk about interacting with the living Christ. And then there's the Spirit of God that taps us on the shoulder and speak to us. The Bible, it says elsewhere in this gospel that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him or her. And so the Spirit sometimes is speaking to us, causing our hearts, which the Bible says the prophets that would be normally be stones, be stone heart, stone cold hearts, to begin to beat and to warm up to him. And that is evidence that the Spirit of God is at work in us and is speaking to us and to those that we know. And he is drawing us in and drawing us to the living Christ. The next story you see is about us. Because what John says here now is that the door is opening for us to know this one who now lives. This one that then went from rising from the grave to ascending to his Father's right hand. You see, what happened was, John says that God broke into time in the God-man, Jesus Christ. And leading up to the resurrection account, He talked about seven statements that Jesus had made, where he said, here is who I am. I am the bread of life, he said, right after he had fed 5,000 men and their families. He said, if you will feast on me, he said, I will give you all that you need to satisfy you in life and in eternity. He said, in chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. I'm the one that will light up this crazy world so that you can see in the dark and make sense of life and make sense of forever if you live by my life. I'm the door. I'm the one that you can, that you walk through, come through to know my Father in heaven. I'm the good shepherd, the one that David wrote about in Psalm 23. That's me, he says. And here he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He says in chapter 14, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, he says, except through me. And then in chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. He said, I'm like a grapevine with lots of clusters all around. But he said, at the center of all those who know and love me that are connected to the, at the vine, he said, if you connect with me, then he says, then I will connect you to the Father. He says that he chose these particular stories so that we could know a couple of things. He says, there's a gazillion other stories that I could have written, he said. But John, an eyewitness of Jesus, said, I chose these things so that you, number one, can believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the one that was sent from heaven in the plan of God to redeem the world so that we could know the Father in heaven. He's the Son of God. He's the one that looks just like God because he is God's Son. As Christians would say a little bit later on, he is part of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, something that is beyond our minds. But by reading this, you know that he is the Son of God. And then the other thing that he said is that you can have life through his name. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that gave you life to begin with. He's the one who gives you life now and can give you eternal life that will last forever and ever so that you're forever with him in his story. When I was in sixth grade, I had I came very close to Hollywood. I was a backup for Macbeth in their sixth grade play. And I studied those lines. I was ready to go up there if something happened to him, you know, he was deathly ill or whatever, I was ready to go. But we spent hours sitting around in my English class teacher's room reading those lines and memorizing those lines and trying to feel whatever it was Macbeth was feeling, or Lady Macbeth or whoever we happen to be. I want to encourage you to do something this Easter. I want to encourage you to enter the drama of John's gospel. I wonder which of these characters that you identify with. There's a bunch of them just that we've looked at this morning. There's many, many more in John's gospel. But I wonder, do you identify with Martha, the detail lady? She was the one earlier on in the gospels we hear that she was the one that kept house and she was upset when Jesus came and her sister was out there lounging around and just socializing with Jesus, of all people. She's a hard worker. You know, maybe you identify with Mary. You say, you know what? The chores can wait. Jesus is here. Let's hang out. You know, let's spend time with Jesus. That'd be a good thing to do. Maybe you identify with Mary. Or maybe it's Mary Magdalene, a woman with a rough past who had been miraculously delivered by Jesus. And here the Lord puts her at the center of the resurrection in a day when women were just cast aside. Or maybe you identify with Peter. Peter said what he thought. He did what he thought. Jesus had to pull him back when he was fighting around and thinking that he was, saying that he was going to fight off the guards that were coming for Jesus. Or maybe you're more like John and you're just kind of like, you'd rather be in the background. This other person, but I'd rather nobody know my name. And there's many others. There was Nathaniel, the one, they said, he's the one who sees, you see what you get. Or there was Andrew, who had the prominent brother. And there were women, throughout John's gospel. Of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Samaritan woman, and many others. I wonder which of them you could identify with. And I wonder if you were to take this gospel, John's gospel, here or on your app, or some Bible that you got at home. I hope, and maybe you're into Elizabethan English. We had to do that for Macbeth, but you can use a King James, or you can get a modern language Bible. There are all kinds of choices. But read that story and read it and participate in it. Imagine that you were there. Imagine that you are that person. And then as you read it, ask the living Christ if he is indeed alive and if he is indeed the resurrection and the life. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to come alongside. Ask him to show you his love. Ask him to shine his light in the dark. The dark like it was when the world began. And the Lord said, let there be light. But the world that has become dark again because of our sin and is all messed up and so dark with death and all of its effects on the planet. Ask him to shine his light in our world and his light in you. Ask him to help you to understand and to realize and say, I am one who has sinned. I am one whom Jesus that you needed to come and die for. I accept your payment for my sin. And by your grace, I'm going to turn from life my way and live life your way so that I can mimic you. I can follow you every day of my life. Know the life, know your presence in me and through me. Would you give me faith to receive you so that I might join your true story both today and forever? If you flip to the back of John's gospel, the last chapter, Peter surfaces again. Almost literally, he's out in a fishing boat. It seems like he's decided to go back to fishing. And Peter, you might recall, he had denied the Lord three times. Here he was, the impetuous one. He was the one that was going to defend Jesus to the end. And then now he's kind of hanging his head and he's thinking, okay, I guess it's time to go back to fishing. So much for ministry. But Jesus had just given his life for him. He'd risen from the dead. Peter's out with the boys fishing and he looks in on the shore and somebody's in there cooking and cooking something there. He's got a fire going and he points back and he says, put your nets on the other side, boys. Hollers across the water. And he recognizes it's Jesus. He comes in, they bring the fish in that they catch. And Jesus receives him and says, hey, let's have a fish dinner. Let's have a fish breakfast, dear Peter. And Peter realizes that Jesus has forgiven him, that Jesus loves him just like he is. And then he starts asking Peter, do you love me? And he asks him three times. And then finally he says, Peter, why don't you join the mission? Why don't you care for my sheep? Care for those whom I care about. And Jesus changes Peter's heart so that Peter is not about himself anymore, but about Jesus and about the kingdom and about drawing others to follow him. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you really believe it? Do you believe it enough to jump into the story and to ask, to tell Jesus, you know what? I want to believe, but I don't know how. Would you show me? Or I do believe. Would you deepen my faith? Would you help me to believe you all the more so that I can be a growing part of your one true story of a better world to come? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to this planet. We're amazed at this story, Lord, that we remember year after year after year with brothers and sisters and friends from across the centuries and from around the world, every culture, every language, as you gather many more to walk with you and worship you and serve you forever and ever. Lord, I pray for any who are wandering, Lord, and sensing your call. Lord, may they turn to you this morning. For any that are away, Lord, may they come back. Lord, for any that are following you, Lord, may we follow you more deeply because you live, because you love us, because you help us to grow more and more with you. We pray in the name of Jesus, the resurrection and the life.